Welcome to Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. We're back in the studio and we're discussing Philippians 1, 1 through 11. And Adriana's here, and Laura and Tori, Miss Tara, myself, Sandy. And some of the words that we discussed last time was slave and remembrance. And Adriana told us that it's mentioned 7 times in the New Testament, and 6 of those is relating to prayer and love. And I think that's pretty amazing. Yeah. We need to remember.
I know. It's such a beautiful, actually, remembrance is a beautiful word. Mm. You know, I think it'd be better than saying funeral to say I'm going to the remembrance of.
Yeah. Well, I agree. You know,
yeah.
Y'all, like y'all remember funeral. That for
celebration.
Me, okay?
Yeah. Yeah. Like in Canada, they don't have Veterans Day. They have Remembrance Day.
I like
which
that.
Which is kind of
oh,
cool.
Really?
Yeah. I like it. It's like all these connections with the word. That's a good word. So, In Philippi, you guys, if you're listening for the first time, what you need to know is that Paul's writing this letter to them because he's actually going to be explaining what's going on with Epaphroditus, which was a servant they sent, I think like a year before to go and take care of Paul. And so this letter is written by him, and Timothy is believed to be the one that may have penned it, but it's all Paul's words. You know, it's important to know that. And in my mind, I was visualizing when this was happening because I visualized Paul as being a very powerful, active man. I don't see him as being somebody sitting, you know? And I kind of visualized him pacing the room back and forth as Timothy is like ferociously trying to write down what he wants him to say. And it's not like in our culture where we have like an abundance of paper and everything at the papyrus it took for them to make, you know, it's like you couldn't mess up. Yeah. And so I have this great picture of it. And in Israel, we went to Philippi, and we actually stood over the part of the palace where he would have been in house arrest during this time. Mm-hmm. It's kind of been washed away by the ocean, but you can see part of the tiles and stuff that would have been the section that he was in. And we also saw the cistern that they threw him in when he was initially arrested before he was put in a house. And so kind of fun little tidbits from our Israel trip. Tori was on that trip and nodding his head because he was there. Yeah. So what we're going to do this time, we're going to have Laura read for us Philippians 1 through 11.
Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for you, I always pray with joy. Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it out to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. For whether I'm in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And in this, my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in the knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God.
Mm. I wrote in my Bible, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I love this prayer. You know, before we say anything, just listening and the importance of praying the Word of God, and Laura had said in the first show, I know we're going to talk about the importance of praying the Word of God. If you don't know how to pray, you take this exact prayer and you pray it into the people and put their names there. I give thanks to my God for you, Sandy, as I remember you, Sandy. And literally, you can take the actual words and make those words your prayer. It's just beautiful. And Paul's heart for the Philippians is just incredible. We're going to begin with verse 4. We've gone through verses 1 through 3, the first two shows. And so now we're looking at the verse that says, always praying with joy for all of you in every prayer. And during the in-between time, sometimes the best conversations actually happen between the recordings, and Laura was on a roll, and so we're gonna see if Laura can get the roll out again.
All right, I just think it's hard because a lot of times we can talk about how prayer is such an amazing thing and how we have these great relationships with maybe people we led to the Lord or people we strengthened in the Lord, but I think it's also extremely important to consider how prayer affects people that maybe we don't have the best relationship with, or the people that we really struggle to love well. And so I think kind of a little bit with what Tori said a couple of weeks ago, just how important prayer is and how it causes us to love people more. I think that is crucial as those the people in our lives that we don't always get along with. But not only can we pray for them, but we can bring about just this amazing joy that God gives us as we pray. And I think it's a balance, definitely, but I think God provides that joy when we come to Him with people that we maybe not don't have the best attitude for, but God can transform that, and God also honors us in that.
And the crazy part is that He surprises us with love, and that when we are willing to take that time to love the one that may not be perceived by your heart, personality, attitude as lovable, all of a sudden He can change that so drastically. And I know for myself in my life, I can give you example after example. I think I must have a lot to learn. But I'll give one that there's no way of connecting. So I was serving in a garage sale fundraiser for our school. And there was an item or something that I was moving to a different section, just trying to organize things. And it seemed like it didn't matter what I do. I had this particular person, like every time I did it, was behind me telling me I wasn't doing what I was supposed to be doing, or didn't do it right, or didn't fold it right. It was just one of those circumstances. And by the end of the day, because we were preparing an entire gymnasium filled with things, like I was done. I was done mentally, emotionally, socially, physically, and spiritually. Like, I'm a volunteer. I'm not getting paid for this, and this isn't so worth it. And I went home with this, I don't know, I'm just so sinful, bad attitude. And I started praying because I knew I was going to have to go back the next day and three more days of serving. And the person had told me as this, I had to do something, which was kind of funny. It was connected to a radio station to see if they would advertise about what we were doing. And I didn't want to do anything that would benefit, even though it was meant for the school. I was like, I felt like that person. I'm so sinful. And I had to ask God to forgive me. And so I started asking God, will you help me to love this person? Fast forward, I don't know, like 3 or 4 years later, I found out this person was diagnosed with breast cancer. And I was just absolutely broken because I had actually prayed so much that, you know, God worked through it. And I served like I was supposed to. That I actually was at the point where I wept knowing this person was going to be hurting. And then fast forward like 5 years now, you know, or actually at this point, probably like even 8 years, when I see this person in the city, it's somebody that I actually have joy when I see them because God has done a work in me. It didn't matter if the person changed or not. He did something inside me. And I think sometimes, yes, Laura, we want to focus on the easy things because we don't want to talk about the bad things because then it shows our sinful heart. But also, we don't want to gossip, so we don't want to reveal where it's at, right? Yeah, but He can change us.
Yes, He does. We always think they're going to change them. Come, Lord, change them a little bit, you know, but it isn't them that needs change, it's us. Yeah. Been there many times.
Yeah. So always praying with joy. Always praying with joy for you in every prayer. What does that look like?
I think it's kind of cool that you can just hear Paul's heart for God, because it's because of the gospel, and that's why he's thankful. You know, if Paul wasn't adamant about the kingdom of God, he wouldn't enjoy the people he's talking to. And I think it's cool that Paul, even with them, it all goes back to God's kingdom, and because of God, he has so much joy for them. He thanks God for them. I used to think, he's thanking them for being them, but he's thanking God for them. And that's a huge difference between, you know, thanking someone for themselves and thanking God, you've done this in them, thank you for that. It's because of the gospel. It's the kingdom mindset that Paul has for the gospel. He was a missionary. His heart goal was to see people come to know the Lord. And he's gratitude. He's thankful for them because of God.
Yeah. Like in verse 5, kind of what you were touching on with how Paul says that he prays for, makes all of his prayers with joy because of their partnership with him in the gospel and from even the very beginning. And it's just kind of cool to see how there's that bond and love because they are serving the same God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think it's also really cool with the joy because, as previously stated, like grace and peace is so closely linked to that. And so we can look back and we can remember and the joy. And then in verse 6, well, and then in verse 4 and 5, it's talking about where they're at now and what they're doing and how they have this partnership. And then 6 talks about how they can have joy because of what is to come and the fact that God is working in them and that he will carry that out until the day of Jesus Christ. So I think it's just a cool correlation of how joy can come from past, present, and future, and how it's so closely linked with grace and peace.
I love it. You just gave, this is like perfect. So I had the question, what do we learn about Paul and his prayer in this passage? And you just summed it up. It's past, present, and future. Paul shared how often he prayed for the people of Philippi. He shares why he prays for the people of Philippi. And he shares what he's prayed for the people of Philippi. And it's just beautiful how, you guys just, I love how you interpret the word of God. It makes my heart happy. I have my joy complete right now. And it's just a beautiful thing in thinking, I mean, he's in prison, so what more effective way for him to impact people as than by prayer? And I know this is kind of weird, but I often think, okay, in worst case scenario, if this happened, you know, let's say, what if, let's just say I couldn't do anything and I was like bedridden and that's it. What would I do? Would I allow my attitude to go bad? Would I whine? Would I gripe? Would I complain? It's like, no, I'd pray for the nations. I would have a prayer strategy. I'd figure out how I could reach these people. I'd get lists of these people and, you know, and thinking through ways of occupying my mind to be in prayer for those around me.
You know, when you say that, the person that comes to mind to me is Johnny Erickson Tada.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
You know, what a beautiful Christian she is, you know. I read a lot of her books.
She has a phenomenal one on the Philippians.
Oh, she does?
Philippians. Yeah.
I don't think I've read that one.
She does. Well, I don't know if it's a book or if it's just that it's like...
She talks like about the joy, maybe.
Yeah, the interviews that I've heard her do and talking through what God's taught her through that.
Yeah, because she's gone through a lot.
Right.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, and counting it all joy. Mm-hmm. It's not easy. Mm-mm. Okay, so let's go. You have some?
Oh, yeah. I don't think it'll detract from what we're talking about, but the reason of Paul's joy, it's rooted in all that you have said, but I think it speaks of the amazing trust he has in God's faithfulness. Mm-hmm. Because if he didn't believe that God could carry it on to the day of completion, verse 6, he wouldn't have joy. Mm-hmm. And for having not seen them in 10 years, the amount of trust he has in God's work in them gives him that much joy.
And that also brings the hope in.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And even more than that, it's just cool because it's not just that he has confidence that God can.
He will.
It's that he will as well. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, just how the entire thing, it's a very passive thing where he's saying God is going to do this, not... Oh, hey, you guys are going to eventually complete this good work that God began.
No,
it's that God will complete it. It's just such an encouragement.
Yeah, I like that verse.
That is a good one. That is a good one. So let's go to verse 5 so we can get there. Because of your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. So until now. Like, let me get my words out. So it's in the gospel, what Tori just said. And so he's reminding, there's our word, the Philippians of their inheritance. It is our inheritance. And I think it was the Cornerstone commentary said, it's incorruptible, it's undefiled, and it's glorious. Mm. Think about that inheritance. And being able to own that, recognize that, pray that, believe that, live in it, that's important. I know for myself in my walk, when I was shedding my worldly identity and trying to get my Christ-like identity, the phrases that I would repeat in my head when the lies from the pit of hell were coming in would be, I'm a royal priesthood, I'm a holy nation, I'm a child of the king, a daughter, co-heir to Christ. And I would repeat those things over and over in my head so that I was getting rid of the yuck that was inside me from the lies I had allowed in. Okay, the word fellowship in this passage is from koinonia, which we all know means that our fellowship within Christ and the fellow believers. But it also, according to Barnes' commentary, said it also owns up to the generosity and the financial giving that was actually occurring in Philippi when he was there, because Lydia took care of Paul.
Right.
You know, it shows us at the beginning where when she came to the Lord, she said, come to my home, stay with me, and she took care of him. So the assumption is that he was taken care of by Lydia's household while he was doing ministry there. And then when the jailer and them, when they're done, they go immediately to Lydia's house, and that's where they stay. And so the implication is that that fellowship is the saints that are taking mm-hmm. care of one another. I just thought that was beautiful because I personally had never associated fellowship with the actual generosity side of things. Now, I know that that's a part of our fellowship, but I just had never put that in with the koinonia fellowship.
Yeah.
Does that surprise y'all?
Yeah, it kind of does, because, like, at least for me, like, looking at it, too, it's kind of like how a lot of people will give money to missionaries to help support them. And, I mean, that's something that you never think of as being a part of fellowship and sharing in the work of the gospel with them. And, yeah, it's cool to see.
Yeah, it is. Mine says partnership, so that makes you think more like you're in this together.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, what translation were you using?
NIV.
Okay, ESV translates it that way as well.
Partnership.
Yep.
Okay. I think I was using Holman. Yeah, this is a Holman, isn't it?
Yep. What did I bring today?
Well, that's what I'm reading through, but I just needed to make sure to make my brain. All right, and so thinking through that, and then, so with that, all right, it's the prayers, the love, the fellowship, the generosity, the being willing to give. And so I'm constantly, like, asking that question in that test, you know, how am I a cheerful giver? How am I willing to invest in the body of Christ so that I am feeding into the fellowship of the saints? Because that's what we should do. And on campus with the missionaries, we have a wonderful young woman that's in Africa right now named Naomi. And she had to have a lot of people back her to get there. And I just remember thinking, you know, that's an investment that I'm willing to go for because I know that she will be sincere in giving the gospel and in what God's called her to do. And so that connection of the joy that we get with one another when we see fellowship happening, it is going to have that. And so I challenge you guys to think on that. What does that look like for you in giving to the body of Christ and joining in? Because it does, as we see next time, we'll go into the verse of how it makes our joy complete. We're so glad that you are listening to Cultivating Hearts. We just want to say thank you to our donors because Cultivating Hearts would not happen if it weren't for the donors that provide. And so we just thank you for your generosity. God bless.